Hi, this is John DeLancey, and you are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm happy.
I'm happy too. It's been a while.
Well, yeah, I'm happy for one thing currently. I'm happy for a lot of things, but I finally figured it out through a video that it is Peter Cullen, and all as we can move on. I just need to ease my kind. It's the voice of Peter Cullen for the Funko Pop Lights and Sounds Optimus Prime. I figured it out through a video that was posted. I'm like, yep, okay, good. Next.
So there's been some developments in pop culture. One that's pretty massive is Hasbro and Mattel inking a licensing deal to create co-branded toys and games, which is for these two uber giants to do what they're doing.
Yeah.
Is a massive undertaking, but they both have different properties that the other do not have access to. And because we all know that people get bored of things unless you kind of muddy the waters, point in case is look at modern potato chips and and candy bars. They have to mix between other companies because people apparently are that bored. But it's not totally a bad thing in this scenario because they both have these properties. Like Hasbro has Monopoly, Mattel has Uno. And then the fact that they have their own like franchises, like Mattel has Barbie and Hasbro has Transformers.
So I didn't read this. I just saw the news. This was happening. I didn't really read this. And I'm sorry to cut you off, but oh my God. Like, I've seen people commenting on this and I'm like, oh, really? That's all it is? But they're going to do hopefully more than this. But like you said,
it's starting out here.
Yeah, this fall, Hasbro will offer Barbie-branded Monopoly games, while Mattel will introduce Transformers-branded Uno games. And then in early 2024, Mattel will unveil a line of Transformers-branded Hot Wheels vehicles.
I'm pretty excited about the Hot Wheels, not going to lie, because that means we could get some G1 characters as Hot Wheel vehicles.
Yep.
But that also means that we could see some Star Wars ships because Hasbro has that license.
Yep.
And because, we've seen the Enterprise as a Hot Wheel vehicle. We've actually Hot Wheels has done Star Trek related stuff in the past, but Playmates has typically held that license.
Yeah.
On and off again between Art Asylum and McFarlane and some other different organizations. But Playmates pretty much has that. But I mean, I really like the idea because I used to get certain Hot Wheel cars with the intention of them being my stand-in Transformers character.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even if they were the wrong color, I was just excited just to have it. I have a semi-truck that I had as a kid, and it's very similar to Optimus Prime. However, it's got like the sleeper in the back. Like, so it's just an extended cab. It's not, it doesn't go higher.
Yeah.
But it's still the flat face, you know, Peterbilt semi almost. And I used it as Optimus Prime because it was red.
All right. Yeah.
So, I mean, to have an official, cause I mean, I don't really care to have like giant non-transformable Transformers, but to have a Hot Wheel car for like $1.99 or $1, I mean, heck yeah, I'll pick up a bunch of them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's funny because I actually have two of them. I have one in package and one out of package, only because I decided to open the first one and then I couldn't find it, so I bought a second one at the time. I have the Hot Wheels Knight Rider Kit Super Pursuit Mode vehicle, so it is the only Hot Wheels toy I have, but I absolutely love it. It sits on my desk, and it's the Super Pursuit Mode kit from season four. So yeah, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be really cool with the whole Transformers Hot Wheels thing.
I'm not going to lie. I'm super excited.
Yeah, it's very cool. I wasn't sure what this news was going to mean before I actually read the article. My thinking was, oh, He-Man's going to go over to Hasbro and Transformers is going to go to Mattel for a little while and see which company does it better for the other one or whatever kind of thing. Not that I think that's ever going to happen, but yeah, that was my first like initial thought for this. But no, this is really cool. I'm all for this.
Yeah, and to be honest, I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with it. It's just there's so much potential there. I just would be looking forward to what I mean, because not that I need another Monopoly or game of Uno or things like that.
And but, let's face it, those games are just. I mean, the fact that it's Barbie Monopoly, because we already have Transformers and we already have Beast Wars Monopoly. But with the Monopoly and the Uno, it's just those games with designs and characters, specifically to Monopoly, character cards that are Transformers based. That's what it is. It's taking the initial game that you've known for the past however the hell long Monopoly and Uno have been around, 40, 50, 60 years, whatever it is, and adding the Transformers brand to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I highly doubt Uno is going to change so much where Megatron's going to make you draw 17 instead of drawing 8 or drawing 4 or what it like. It's going to be very cool. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens with it.
I will be interested to see how it terrorizes the game.
Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah. So moving on from there, we'll take a low note before we take a high note. Disney Plus has kind of been squandering franchises that they have potential to make money on.
Yes,
by trying to reboot Disney. Them with new people in them.
Yep.
So. And this isn't the first time they've done this. They've milked like the Doogie Howser. They've milked the Mighty Ducks, which got canceled after the second season. Gee, because, you know, you canned Emilio Estevez. And, you know, then you go to Turner and Hooch and they killed Tom Hanks' character.
I'm so glad I didn't even watch that because.
Well, he was dead. He was murdered in the first episode, but he was never actually there. It just. That he died.
Yeah.
And then the son picked up where he left off.
Right.
With the dog. And
yeah, no.
So, and then it got canceled after one season. And I felt it had potential, but I felt like it was kind of like, I was hoping that there was a round way that maybe Tom Hanks would come in like second season and find out that he really wasn't dead, that he was undercover or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just would have preferred they didn't do that because I felt it was kind of disgraceful to the character. So getting on that same wavelength, we get National Treasure: Edge of History, and it was canceled after one season, which I watched it more from the standing of I wanted to see if they ever brought in Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
They brought in Riley and they brought in the FBI agent from the previous two films because he was supposed to be an old man and, you know.
Yeah, Sandusky or whatever. Yeah,
Sandusky. And then they had all these new people.
Yeah.
And a lot of the characters were very grating. Like they were trying way too hard to fit into modern.
Mm-hmm.
Aesthetics and modern characterizations, or it was so forced, it was painful to watch. So I actually fast forwarded a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when they brought in Riley, that was literally because he references, like, he calls Nicolas Cage's character, who's never actually heard, but
right, yeah,
I felt like that was the only time it was halfway decent. And then a lot of it was kind of shoehorned in, and it should have honestly been a movie. It was, yeah. A lot of it was dragged out. A lot of it was just kind of painful to watch. And I would have preferred that they had just gotten Nicolas Cage in a series instead of doing this.
Or instead of doing this at all, or maybe incorporate ideas from this, like you said, finally make the third damn movie that we've been waiting so long for and just be done with it. I didn't even know this had come out. Like, I was just now, I just closed it down, but I was just now on the Disney Plus page for this show, and I'm like, okay, 10 episodes, fine, whatever, that's the standard for seasons on streaming now, whatever. When did this show? I'm like looking for an air date. I'm like, 2022. Where the was I in 2020? I mean, I know where the hell I was, but like, you know, like I remember us seeing the trailer. I remember us talking exactly what we're talking now about. We wanted Cage. We wanted this. We wanted that. All of that when it initially the trailer dropped. But since the trailer dropped to now, I didn't even know it had dropped on Disney Plus. Disney has been dropping stuff on Disney Plus and not really saying anything about it and just letting people discover it.
Did you notice that they're almost as bad as how Netflix was when Transformers had hit?
Yep.
And they seem to it's like they don't market it. Like they're not even remotely trying.
Yep.
And I felt like that was kind of a misstep. Like there was so much potential here had they rolled it back in.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they were skipping time, you know, for the sake of doing so.
Yeah.
I felt like they had a lot of potential had they decided to go just to kind of go into more of what Benjamin Franklin Gates was doing at this point.
Yep. So I know the first National Treasure was 2007 because I saw it in theaters. The second one was
2012.
2012, really? Was that?
Was it? Am I right?
No. Oh, I was wrong. I was wrong. I've seen both of them. No, National Treasure originally came out. Oh my God, it's been 20 years next year. 2004, and then the second one came out in 2007. Mm. So 3 years between the two films, and then the untitled film has been TBA for 40 years or however the hell long, but. Yeah, so it was 3 years between the two films, and then 2007 to 2022, that's what? Let's see, a decade, like what, 15? Yeah, it's 15 years or so? Yeah. Like, you waited 15 years and you gave us 10 episodes with maybe one episode of good stuff? Like, really? Seriously? And I'm sorry, as much as I'm all about franchises and continuity and all that stuff, two films is not a franchise. A trilogy could be considered a franchise.
I think it's still a trilogy.
Well, it is, but it could be considered but I'm saying there are only two films in for National Treasure. Like, nobody was calling Beverly Hills Cop a franchise until the third movie. I don't know. It is what it is. It's all terminology. It doesn't matter. But the point is that they waited 15 years to give us a 10-episode show. Really? You could have figured it out by now. So, again, going with your timeline theory. Okay, so the second film was 2007. Let's just go with that. Like, say the end of the second film going into the third film with, you know, also in my book, page 47, blah, blah, blah. I think I can help you out, help you with that, Mr. President. You age the characters up from 2007 to last year, today, whatever you want to say it is, and then just go forward. And you go forward with those characters that we already know, and then maybe go backwards and work in. I don't know. It's a whole – man, time travel is tricky. It hurts my head. Ow.
But the point being, they they missed a boat.
Exactly.
And I feel like they waited too long. Like, the iron was hot. They should have done it back then.
Yep.
At this point, it's kind of stupid to revisit it. It's like going back and doing another Johnny Depp Pirates of the Caribbean movie now. Or trying to reboot the franchise. There's no point.
Yeah, there's no point. Or it's just like, you know, sorry, but that skull kind of killed that franchise. Like, there is no Dial of Destiny. Like, look, I love the man to death, but I do not want to see Indiana Jones with a walker. With an AT-AT, maybe? That would be kind of cool. That'd be a nice crossover. But I don't want to see Harrison Ford in a walker trying. And I know he's not that to that point. But, like, 5 movies over 40-plus years, that's a little too much. At least the Transformers movies have only been around for 16 years. And they've kept doing them. Because, obviously, it's kept them in the black as far as money. But, yeah, I don't like these long. Again, something you loved, absolutely, because you're a Jim Carrey fan, Dumb and Dumber. You love that movie, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Did you ever want to see a sequel past 90? When did that movie come out? 94. Let's just say, usually movies and whatever else usually take 2 or 3 years between. Let's say the sequel came out in 1999, but if it didn't, which it didn't, obviously, folks, did you ever want to see a Dumb and Dumber 2 past 1999?
No.
Exactly my point.
It's like Ace Ventura.
Yep.
Would I still watch an Ace Ventura 3? Likely. Does it need to be made? No.
Nope. Not at all. All right. So, wrong way to do a franchise, folks. At least,
but let's get to the right way.
Yeah, exactly. What do you got?
So, I mean, there's always once and always way, you know, a way to do it. So,
oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. People were like, I saw some people not really hate on it. But they were kind of criticizing it a bit too much, or they were this or that. They were nitpicking a little bit. But as I watched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always, I'm just like, okay. And people were like, well, how are we hearing Tommy's voice? How are you hearing Tommy's voice?
Hearing Kimberly or the rest of them. It's sound clips, man.
It's Hasbro now owns Power Rangers. And they have 30 years of material that they can cut sound into. And it was so good. It was so emotionally charged. I didn't think it was going to be as emotionally charged as it was. And people wanted, like, oh, they should mention Tommy here. They mentioned Kat. They mentioned JJ, because JJ is Kat and Tommy's son. So Kat and Tommy are married. That kind of – I think that – happened during the comics, and the comics are great, folks. Go read the Boom Studios comics. My buddy Jesse Raz and I are going to get back to those at some point this year inside the pullback. I don't know when that's going to be. But no, man, it was so cool. We got a lot of cool stuff in this thing, and everybody was like, oh, Robo. Oh, my God. Somebody was
the way that they were able to bring her back.
Yeah, well, somebody was like, I don't know how they brought her back, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting like, how did
he released her energy.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, Billy accidentally released her energy, and she took over Alpha 8. That's what I like, is that Alpha 5 was the original Alpha that we saw on the TV show. We had Alpha 6 somewhere. Who the hell knows where Alpha 7 was? Maybe he was off with 7 of 9. Who knows? Ooh, Power Rangers Star Trek, another cool crossover. Anyway, and then we get to Alpha 8. Alpha 8 gets destroyed by her essence coming back and becoming Robo Rita. And this is a way that they can do it where it doesn't have to be – okay, there's obviously somebody in the suit doing the movements, but it doesn't have to be a facial actress that doesn't match the voice of Barbara Goodson. No. However – just having her be a robot without acknowledging anybody that's in the suit and just having the voice be the voice because it's the robot. And but everyone's nitpicking like, oh, but the blah, 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 the Z-Wave, the essence of the purification. Yeah,
well,
the
she
essence.
Even, they even mentioned that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's not like they left it.
No, it's not. But some people thought they did. And I'm just like, have you even watched the thing?
Yeah, because they made it pretty cut
pretty
and dry.
Clear. Yeah, it was pretty cut and dry. I liked Robo Rita. I thought it was fun. I thought the whole thing was fun.
I was really apprehensive of it to begin with. And then when I saw it,
mm-hmm.
I was pretty ecstatic, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
It was just, I don't know, I it wasn't something I felt I needed, but then after seeing it, I was not disappointed.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I and then I loved that they gave some of the Rangers that didn't really get a lot of time
mm-hmm.
more of that center focus.
Yeah, everybody thought it was going to be like Legendary Battle was, where everybody shows up kind of thing, like all the Time Force Rangers or all the Lightspeed Rangers or all this Ranger or all that Ranger. And it wasn't that. It was like the whole point was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers once and always. And it's about the original. And I say the original Core Rangers. Obviously, Trini is no longer with us. Zach
but
is
they
there.
But they figured out a way to write her out without
right.
it
no,
being...
No, absolutely, they did, tacky. Yes. Yeah, at 100%. No, but I'm saying, like, I saw some people complaining about, oh, why is it Rocky and not Jason, or why this, or why that? Well...
Did you watch it?
Yeah, exactly. Again, I don't think some people watched it. But I like the mixing of the – like, I like Rocky, Adam, and Aisha, and Adam – and I want to know more about Adam and Aisha and SBDA, because that's the story I want to hear about now, because that's friggin' cool that they are out in space with SPDA.
PDA.
Yeah, SPDA, not – No. You know, so I thought that was great. And we have all these other, like, if people want to see the other, we have all the other crossovers that have been done in the last 30 plus years or whatever it is. But yeah, no, the mixing of characters, the introduction of the new character, and all of that.
And they left it open that they could do their own new series.
They could.
And
they should.
I feel like it's the perfect opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just whether they want to do that or not.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the actors and whether they want to do it or not, and it's all about all of that stuff. But I think it would be super cool to have a once-and-always series.
Well, and then they could bring back older Rangers if they wanted to. There's a lot of room.
Yep.
That they could wiggle in, and I don't know, just a lot of potential.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, folks, we will have a more, I don't know if it's going to be Steve and I, or if it's going to be other people, I don't know. I'm still planning from the Command Center episode 70, because that's probably what that's going to be, is a full-on spoiler filled. We kind of spilled it here a little bit, but... Yeah, I still want to do a full-on thing with Once and Always. I want to go back and catch everything. And I think I caught pretty much almost everything that I wanted to catch. And I love Zach's line. You really shouldn't have messed with this. I'm like, oh, it's the juice bar. That's so cool.
Well, and I love that they took the time to rebuild everything.
Yep.
And to give it that nostalgic look and feel, mm-hmm. like you just felt like the show never actually ended.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they took the added care to make sure it was what was expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't just kind of, that'd be great. No,
yeah.
they went all out, and it shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like another show that did something similar.
Which is what, sir?
Star Trek Picard.
Oh boy. So you've seen this. I have not. You've watched it like 50 times by now.
I've watched this season. I've watched the entire season twice altogether. I've watched multiple episodes, especially towards the last 3 to 4. Mm-hmm. I've watched them probably 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And specifically sections of those episodes, but mm-hmm. I've watched the entire episode probably that many times. just because the amount of care
yeah.
that Terry Metalis put on this show is mind-boggling. And the amount of money that they spent to make it happen. I think, like, if had they given the keys of the kingdom to Terry instead of we got, I feel like the Trek franchise would have been in such better hands.
Yeah.
I am not a huge fan of anything Alex Kurtzman does. That being said, I am happy that Metalis was able to, because he's a part of the old guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's old Trek.
Right.
And it shows, like, he genuinely cares. He knows how the characters work. He mm-hmm. wanted to reposition the characters to have a proper send-off. And it just, the writing is really well done. The nostalgia is great. And mind you, I can see some people's irritation, per se, with some of it. You know, some of it they could chalk it up to, you know, plot holes or plot conveniences. But I don't, every show has one. You know, every mm-hmm. show has that. I feel like he kind of took little bits of season 1 and 2 that were needed for this season, but he, for the most part, did callbacks to all of Trek lore, like all of the past, and brought it in a tasteful new way to not like be pandering, but to not have it. Like, it's just how he portrayed it was very tasteful. Like, he just,
yeah.
you could tell the love and the care was there.
Yeah, there's a difference between having something tastefully done and then having something so awfully redone that you, and they're not redoing it, they're continuing it on and whatever else, but my point but he is,
finished the series
mm-hmm.
and did it in a way that made it kind of come full circle and feel complete.
Very cool.
And I, like, down to, and I'm sorry if there's spoilers here, but just cover your ears if you're not wanting that. He, down to the money that they spent on rebuilding the Enterprise D, just the bridge, it was spectacular. So.
Yes. Steve has always had a fascination with Star Trek. I've always had a defiant fascination with Star Trek. Coming soon to the Geekcast Radio Network. You think you know. You don't know.
Funny guy.
That's right. You think you know. You don't know.
I feel like it should say Jack, but, you know, that's, you don't know Jack, but, you know, I guess they don't because, well, Picard season.
Season 4.
Yeah, because there is a Jack in it.
Oh, yes, that's right.
You don't know Jack, but you will.
Yep.
Eventually. Where's Q when you need him? Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. All right, so that's the Trek. What else you got?
Oh, man.
Is there something else?
Well, I just think that we're seeing this new wave of revivals, and it's not, we've had a lot of them. Let's be frank about it. We've had a lot of them over the last 10, 15 years. where they've tried to bring a series back. They've tried to revive it. They've tried to do something. I mean, look at how many times they've tried to bring back like Ghostbusters or Star Trek or Star Wars or Indiana Jones. Some of it works, mm-hmm. but it has to be done in a way that's not
untasteful.
Yeah. I mean, Indiana Jones, every time they've tried it, has been just bad. Every time they've tried to do the passing of the torch, Marvel is getting to that point where it's kind of cringeworthy, where you can tell that they're passing the torch.
Well, with Marvel, it's like, oh, again, I mentioned this on many other episodes of this show and other podcasts that we do. How do you continue on past the thing and the event called the end game? You ended your universe. And while, yes, some of the Disney Plus shows like WandaVision, like Winter Soldier, or Falcon and Winter, I should say, like Hawkeye are good, Phase 4, man, just, it's that middle of the road. They're not really doing anything too much. What If was great. I love the What If cartoon series, and I'm eagerly anticipating the second season of that this year. But they are gearing up for Phases 5 and 6. And what we've seen so far of Phases 5 and 6, it looks like they are going to get back to the excellence that they had before they ended the end game kind of thing. You know, you snap your fingers and half the universe goes away.
Well, and I think we're getting into the Fox universe now with X-Men and having Fantastic Four and having
absolutely
all of these things that they didn't have access to until recent.
Yep, and another big news thing lately in the last couple of weeks is that finally, I shouldn't say finally, but somehow, some way, Disney and Sony came to an agreement, and all three original Spider-Man films are now on Disney Plus.
Excites me just because I enjoyed them.
Oh yeah, no, I think it's all five of the original the two amazing ones too. I don't know. I know the original Tobey films are on there, but I don't know if the Andrew Garfield ones are. I assume they are. Yeah, no, that's very cool. I think that's great that Sony and Disney are playing in the same whatever to get as many eyeballs as they can on these movies. That's great. I love that.
But yeah, I mean, and then you look at, you know, this Once and Always Power Rangers, and you look at Star Trek Picard. I mean, it's a nice passing of the torch.
Yep.
In a way that's not, it's not pandering. It's not trying too hard. It's a logical progression. It's giving the cast of old their due, but also bringing in that new generation. But they're more of a mentor role. They're not just like, hey, I just picked up this kid out of the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Yes, that was my Harrison Ford impression.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like we're to that point where they kind of have to make a decision.
Yep. So looking at Disney Plus again, original Tobey films, all three are there, and one of the two Garfield films, the original, the first Amazing Spider-Man film, is there. I'm sure at some point, as long as the deal with Sony and Disney continues, that the second film will show up as well. Star Wars stuff, I've been on a 2-year journey, apparently, folks. I like doing threads on Twitter because it's just an easy way for me to keep various things into, so it doesn't have to be like a million. It is still a million different tweets, but it's a million different tweets into one place kind of thing. And I started doing a Clone Wars rewatch from 2005. Started doing that 2 years ago. Here we are 2 years later. I've finally finished Clone Wars and I've started The Bad Batch.
What do you think of The Bad Batch?
I'm still in the first episode. I haven't even of the first season. I haven't even. I literally, as we're recording this, this past weekend, I just finished Clone. Like literally, I binged it all weekend long because I was on like season 6, episode 5 at the time. So I went from that to season 7, episode 12, and I'm like, oh my god, this is some of the best Star Wars that has there has ever been. And I wanted to go in, you know, I am. I want to go in timeline order of the universe. I don't want to have to skip around or whatever else. So I asked everybody online, like, what's the timeline? What's the... Everybody's like, well, technically Bad Batch is next, and then Rebels is 5 years before A New Hope. Like, okay, fine. And I'll say this, until I start watching it again, I will say this as my de facto opinion. I was like, okay, I want to postpone watching Rebels as long as I can because I fucking hate Ezra. I hated that character when the show first debuted X number of years ago. So I'm going to go into it open-minded, but I'm going to finish watching the 2 seasons of The Bad Batch. The Clone Wars, though, that ending, I love Ahsoka. She was kind of as all characters kind of start out like this, you know, Bumblebee and whatever else, insert kid character name here. She was kind of annoying at first, at the beginning, but as I marathoned through starting 2 years ago, because I watched like the first 4.5, 5 seasons 2 years ago, and I really started liking her, and as I went back to it this past weekend, I'm like, I love Ahsoka, I think she's great, I have 4 of her Funko Pops at this point, and just absolutely love it. I think my favorite part was that when they brought Clone Wars to Disney Plus, they said, oh, by the way, season 7 was already a thing, but they were like, oh, here are the final 4 episodes of season 7, and they do it in this like Lucasfilm Limited Star Wars The Clone Wars. It's the red Clone Wars logo, and they do parts 1, 2, 3, and 4, and I'm like, this is the best 4-part story in Star Wars that I have ever seen, and it was just so great. I will rival anyone, because you know I am with music and TV and cartoons and movies and everything else. The music during the Maul Ahsoka fight at the end of episode 12, it rivals Duel of the Fates for me. It almost surpasses Duel of the Fates. Just the tones that they have, the music that it's Kevin Kleiner, I think is his name. I have to look it up. I'm sorry, Kevin. I forget what his last name is off the top of my head. But just absolutely love that. I love the direction. I love the whole, just everything about it. The animation, the voice acting, it's so great. So very, very awesome. And even though they say it's a undisclosed moon at first, I kind of glossed over that point. Because at first I thought it was Hoth before Hoth became snow-covered, the final planet where Ahsoka lays down the saber kind of thing. And then, you know, X number of time later, Anakin, I assume that's, I'm pretty sure it's probably the Anakin animation model in the Vader suit, picks it up. I'm like, ooh, that would be so cool if it was Hoth. It would just be interesting that they always end up going back to Hoth. Because another thing that made me think of that is that droid, the Cessna, whatever the hell the stupid droid was, the floating tentacle droid that they have or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. So I'm just now digging into Bad Batch. Next time I will have probably a full review for Bad Batch or a full, you know, kind of breakdown of whatever. But I like those characters. I think they're great. I love that Echo came back to life and joined them versus staying with Rex and the rest of the clones. But yeah, kind of on a Star Wars kick right now.
Kind of like how I'm on a Star Trek kick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But no, I mean, I when it's done right and when it's refocusing it and when they're trying to do something new but stay true to the universe,
yep,
that's when they succeed. It's when they, I mean, if you're just going to take the premise of it,
yeah,
and just recast everything and kind of reboot it, it doesn't really resonate with people the same. And I feel like that's happened with a lot of franchises now.
Yeah.
To the point where people are just kind of sick of it And that's why you're seeing all these shows that they're like, hey, well, this did well with X, Y, and Z actor back in the day. Let's reboot it. And then it doesn't do diddly squat.
It doesn't do anything at all. And, I love when back in, what was it, 2015, when Force Awakens came out. After everybody saw it in theaters and whatever else, the Force should go back to sleep. The Force needs a nap. I am sorry. It's not because of anything other than the fact that I don't like her character. I don't like the way she acts. I don't like the way
she's back. Going to be back in her own.
I know.
Series. Yeah.
I know. But every time. So right now, again, this episode will be out before whatever. But we're about a week away from the month of May, and I didn't mean to rhyme that, but it is what it is. And May the 4th, May the 4th be with you. Slapshot Pops from YouTube and whatnot, they've actually been preparing this for the last year. They have over 500 Star Wars Pops. They have like $20,000 in Star Wars Funko Pops that they're going to be... They are going to be auctioning them off on Whatnot on May the 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern. And just every time that John, who is the husband of the husband and wife team, it's John and Joanna Darling as Slapshot Pops. So he just released his part one video of showing everybody of the entirety of what's going to be on in the auction. Every time he moves the camera past a Ray pop in the video, I'm like, no, get it off my screen. Ray, yuck, go away. I just don't like that character, man. She just sucks.
Better be careful. You're gonna alienate some people. Exactly, Megatron. Exactly.
That's
his answer if he doesn't like something. Just no.
Yes, exactly.
Man.
I don't know, man. I just don't.
She just doesn't resonate. And I feel like Finn got screwed.
Yeah, Finn did get screwed. Absolutely, he did.
Finn was definitely the one that should have gotten the Jedi powers. Like, I don't know. I just felt like he deserved it, and he got hosed.
Yes, he got hosed.
Especially when he picked up that lightsaber for the first time. I was like, oh, he's going to do it. Yep. He's going to do it. And then they were like, epic fail.
Yeah, the only way, trying my best not to rhyme tonight, but the only way I would ever like Rey is if she finally, you know, went to her heritage of her grandfather or whatever, where the Emperor is her grandfather or something. And I know there are dark side Rey action figures and whatever else out there, so that's probably the only time I would like her, because it's the only time I think she'd become interesting, because the whole journey, I don't know, it is. Go back to episode, I think it's episode 135 of an old podcast that we used to do called Movie Week in Review.
I thought you were going to say Headshot.
No, Headshot didn't get past like episode 14, 135. No,
it did. No. We had 42 episodes. There's evidence somewhere. Oh, yeah, there's evidence, yes.
We complained that much?
Well, we rebooted it and did a 2.0.
That's usually how it ends up. Us complain on a podcast? No.
How did that happen? The world may never know.
That's right. One, two, three. That's right. Oh, Mr. Owl.
Yes.
Yes.
See, you have to be old to get that joke.
Absolutely, folks. It's funny
that joke's actually.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, it blows my mind every time, but I can't watch the shortened version of that commercial anymore. A number of years ago, I found the original full length version. He goes to more than just the turtle. He goes to like the elephant or the this or the that. If I find that, I think I've got it saved in my YouTube favorites somewhere. I'll have to link that in the show notes or embed it in the post on geekcastradio.com, because I love the original long form version of the Tootsie Roll. Tootsie Pop commercial. It's hilarious.
Mr. Cow.
Yes?
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I don't know. I always end up biting. Ask Mr. Fox, for he's much cleverer than I.
Mr. Fox, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
Why don't you ask Mr. Turtle, for he's been around a lot longer than I. Me? I bite.
Mr. Turtle, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
I never made it without biting. Ask Mr. Owl, for he is the wisest of us all.
Mr. Owl, how many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop?
A good question. Let's find out. One, two, three, three.
If there's anything I can't stand, it's a smart owl.
How many licks does it take to get to the Tootsie Roll center of a Tootsie Pop? The world may never know.
All right, well, I think us old men have talked enough about what's new again. Damn kids with their hipping and their hopping and their tick and their talking.
So I would be curious to hear what people think of some of these shows, if they've seen them, if, you know, what their opinions are, what, whether you think that there's another series that should have been given better treatment than what it received. National Treasure. I don't know. I like Nick Cage and stuff. So
should we talk about the, wasn't there, are there still rumors going around about either the TV series or Beverly Hills Cop 4? Whoa. Oh God. Ooh,
Beverly Hills Cop 4. I have a feeling the reason why this never took off, and it's still like kind of, I mean, it's going to be a direct to stream film.
Absolutely.
But I feel like the reason that's gotten on hold is because Eddie Murphy refuses to make a crappy film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a crappy film up till this point. And he's finally given it the sign-off approval to where he would actually be in it.
Yes.
Because I, unlike Jim Carrey, who has done just bad films in general.
Well, I mean, he generally can take, you know, coal and turn it into diamonds.
Yeah, I know. Well, Jim Carrey, the only time he's done a sequel and done well is Ace Ventura and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep.
And honestly, his Sonic the Hedgehog, like playing Robotnik, is so masterfully done.
Yep.
I have a new appreciation for the man. Like, if he came back for the third film, I just have a feeling he'd slam dunk it. Like, oh, he absolutely plays that character. Like, yes, Robotnik, you know, generally in the past has been this dark, brooding character, you know, mm-hmm, just sitting in the shadows. He plays it weird and dark.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just fits. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just super excited to see how he always portrays it and takes it and, you know, runs with it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. And as we're talking here, mm-hmm, I've been working on top 100.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
Yes. So yes, there is another one in the works. Taking us a lot longer than what we anticipated, but.
Well, and to be fair, the
we've
three
all
of
had
us,
busy
between you, life, me, and yeah, between you, me, and Kevin, we, you know, you moved from Michigan to Colorado. I ended up moving from Chicago to Washington and then from Washington to Indiana after Karen passed. Kevin up and left Illinois and went to Florida because apparently he's more of an old man than I am, because that's what people do when they want to retire, folks, even though he's working his ass off down there. You
where
know,
you go?
So. Huh? What? Great.
Yeah.
That's where he went. That's what she said. That's right. You know, we've all had things going on, and honestly, I keep doing the stuff, but I am so burnt. I get up every day, usually around 6, 7 a.m. I work till about 2 or 3 p.m., and I go do some other stuff, and I come back, and this is just on editing and recording, and not recording, but well, sometimes record, not with you, but with other people during. Sometimes we record. But the point is, like, most of my day is like editing and posting and whatever else every day, and I've been grinding on that for the last year or so since I've finally been settled into my new apartment for the last year. But it's just like I'm getting so much. I feel like my whole body is so much older than it is at this point. And so, yeah, I've been getting burnt out, but very excited for the Top 100 Toys countdown. This will be on Geekcast Radio's flagship feed for the podcast Geekcast Radio. It'll also be syndicated on Toycast as well. More details are coming soon. As Steve just said, he is working on the toy guide. We're going to have a whole toy guide, toy catalog, toy magazine. I don't know what we're calling it, but
it's going to be a catalog, essentially.
Yeah. So it's going to be a whole catalog of information that everybody can come join us and help us craft our Top 100 Toys countdown. Megatron, close the show.
Well. Listen in and stay tuned. Yes, because we will do the Top 100. Yes.